HarperCollins presents Cold Blood by Alex Shaw. Read by Ethan Kelly. Prologue. 20th of September, 1996. Schreiner Bank, Poznan, Poland. He set his watch, pulled down the black balaclava, and stepped out of the van. As one, the men stormed the bank.
Na podlodzie, na tych miast!
On the floor now. The Polish was precise, clipped, and accented. With a swift bark from a Kalashnikov, the sole Schreiner Bank guard was neutralized. Shocked customers screamed and threw themselves down as two men in black coveralls pointed their automatic weapons. The dead guard was evidence they weren't afraid to use them. Two other assaulters wearing empty backpacks vaulted over the counter and headed towards the safe. The fifth and sixth sat across the street in two high-powered BMW saloons. Parked facing down cobbled side streets, the cars were poised for a speedy exfiltration. At either end of the main street, identical opal vans stood, packed with Russian-made plastic explosives. No further words were exchanged as each member of the assault team took up their prearranged positions. Bull had watched and waited for months for this shipment to arrive, had persuaded an eager government employee to give him the building schematics, and was now ready to collect his 4 million Deutschmarks. A stunned silence took hold of the banking hall, broken only by the whimpering of a youth. Bull looked down at him in disgust. 7 years ago, such a boy would have been his to command in Afghanistan. Police Training Area, Poznan, Poland. Aidan Snow sat on the wooden bench and stirred his tea. If it hadn't been for the sound of gunfire and smell of cordite, the training camp would have been idyllic. As part of a 4-man training team, Snow had been in Poland for over 2 months, advising the Polish police, Pododziej Antiterrorist Chizny, counter-terrorist unit. Now the Cold War was well and truly over, his unit, the 22nd Special Air Service Regiment, SAS, was in demand as the governments of newly independent states attempted to stem the tide of international organized crime and terrorism. He closed his eyes. The last rays of the summer sun seemed reluctant to leave Poznan. At 24, Aidan Snow had been deployed to numerous hostile locations, some overt, such as Northern Ireland, and others strictly covert, some domestic, some international. His time with the regiment had been eventful, all right. Not the life his parents would have wished for the son of a teacher and a diplomat. He looked on as the rest of his team showed the Polish trainees the correct way to track and hit a moving target. A target had been attached to a pulley which was strung between several trees. Some bright spark had pasted a photograph of Andreas Müller to it, in a direct reference to the English soccer team's defeat at Euro 96. That summer, famously, Müller had scored the 6th-round penalty that had stopped England getting to the final. The trainees thought this was very funny. The SAS did not. The team had made some real progress. For a police SWAT unit, they were good. Ready, in fact, should the real incident arise. Training was still needed, however, to turn this SWAT unit into a truly elite CT team. Their next exercise, which Snow would lead, would utilize the Killing House and hone close-quarter battle, CQB, techniques. The regiment's Killing House in the UK was a two-story building. It was designed and furnished to look like an average two-up, two-down, but had a special rubber-coated walls to absorb bullets, extractor fans to clear out cordite, and video cameras in corners to record and play back the action in the rooms. Each room had at least one metal target and live rounds were used. The SAS team had built a less elaborate mini-version at the camp to train the Polish operatives in how to enter a room, assess the situation, and neutralize any threats. Inspector Zatwanicki, head of the Polish CT unit, had said a permanent killing house would be built to UK standards. It hadn't happened yet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?